Why generally, why are you running?
Well, I'm running to continue to serve my country. 2 months ago, I retired from the Marine Corps Reserve. A lot of active duty time as well, active duty and reserve time. And I look at the dysfunction in Washington, D.C. Quite frankly, I look at Annie Custer, our current representative, and I believe I can do a better job. I don't think Washington, D.C. is looking out for the middle class. They're not looking out for Main Street. I am from middle class background and work on Main Street, and I intend to bring those middle class Main Street values down to Washington.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You are from a middle class background. Mm-hmm. You have a long career in the military. Mm-hmm. And what are you doing now? What have you done in recent years that makes you feel like, I think I can do a better job here?
Well, I've first of all, I've got a family. That's my most important job. I've got two daughters, Catherine and Grace, 18 and 13. Married to my wife, Lori, now for, let's see, 20 years. We're both small business people. Lori has her own business as well. And, you know, I've been serving my clients, serving my country. That's what I've been doing my whole life, and that's what I want to continue to do by going to Congress.
Let's talk about what you're hearing on the campaign trail. I know that you've said that the Affordable Care Act is the biggest topic of conversation on the campaign mm-hmm. trail, talking with small business people. Mm-hmm. What are people saying when you do meet them?
Access is going down, especially in the 2nd District. A lot of hospitals are out of the Obamacare program. And costs are going up, you know, premiums, deductibles. And it's going up for both employers and employees. You know, I was up at the Littleton Coin Company a little while ago, and I heard the same thing from the employees as the employer up there as far as the cost of health care. And it's very concerning. A lot of people are very worried about it. Folks are still suffering from the recession, so to speak, and they're out there doing two jobs, three jobs, part-time jobs, and the last thing they need is an increase in health care costs.
Now, it's true that health care costs were generally increasing before the Act. And you've talked about possibly a repeal of the Health Care Act. I mean, is that realistic, given that there would be probably a presidential veto? And what is the alternative?
Well, what we need to do is continue to dismantle it because it's hurting people. And the alternative is free market alternatives, such as buying across state lines, health savings accounts. The free market can handle this a lot better than government. Government hasn't been very good at picking winners and losers. The free market does that.
Let's talk about Reggie a little bit, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. When you were in the Senate, you did vote to keep it in New Hampshire, and I was wondering why.
I looked at it from, first of all, it was in place when I got there in the state Senate. And I looked at it from a taxpayer economic point of view, which is this. If we would have gotten out of Reggie, we would have still had to pay in $5.6 million into that system because we're tied in with the grid and in our energy system. What we would not have received in return is $12 million in energy efficiency money. And if you take a look at that math, I just looked at it from the taxpayer's point of view, from the best interests of the state, and decided to keep us in.
You've been quoted as saying that none of the people that you do speak to on the street are really talking about climate change at all. I mean, should they be?
Look, I think everything is important. I can tell you that finances, jobs, the economy, immigration, healthcare costs are way up on the scale compared to climate change. Every now and then it will come up, but I'm telling you, the average person is not really concerned with that. They're concerned about the 15th and the 30th of the month, when they can, get their paycheck. What are they going to have left after the paycheck? And that's coming out really on the low end of the scale.
You've been critical of fellow candidate Marlinda Garcia for raising money from outside the state. But isn't that what it's going to take to defeat Ann McLean Custer?
I think what it takes is a grassroots effort and a grassroots support, and that's where my support comes from. It comes from New Hampshire. 80% of my money is coming from New Hampshire, the supporters. And it's not like I've been lacking on raising funds. I've done well there. I've got the most cash on hand of any candidate in the race. And like I say, I think it shows that the people in New Hampshire look at me and think that I am the best person to run against Ann McLean Custer and win.
You are a former Marine, as you said. You've just mm-hmm. recently retired. I wonder what your opinion is of the Veterans Health Care Bill that was just signed into law.
Well, I think it's a start, but I think it leaves a lot to be desired. For example, we need to make sure our veterans get the care they deserve in the hospital, in the town that they're in, and I don't think it goes far enough. We've got a rot within the VA system. We've got a lot of corruption. We've still got, I guess, the bonuses going on. We've got to get to the bottom of that. I don't see this bill as doing that. I think we need a bottom-up review, And I hope to do that when I get to Congress.
Even with some of the provisions in the bill pertaining to being able to get rid of some high-level VA officials that may be, you know, dead weight?
Yeah, I think that's a great start. But, you know, what I'm seeing from Congress, and I see it over and over again, is kicking the can down the road. So they pass this bill. They go on a five-week vacation. And what about everything else? I mean, it just seems like, well, we fixed that problem. Well, no, you didn't. You didn't fix it. There's still folks out there that are waiting to get the care they deserve. And we need to fix it.
And if elected, you've talked about wanting to serve just three terms. Would you support term limit legislation?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I advocate for that as well as advocate for term limits for myself. So in other words, yes, I am only going to serve for three terms if the voters would have me. And I will be an advocate for and vote for term limit legislation. The biggest problem down there in D.C. is we got a bunch of career politicians thinking about themselves, not worried about the country, and more concerned about reelection and how long they can stay in D.C. rather than getting things done for the middle class and for Main Street.
Any other topics you want to touch upon?
You know, I enjoy campaigning. I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy listening to what's concerned to them. And I hope that they would see that and elect me on September 9th as their primary candidate for the Republican Party.
Gary Lambert, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Rick.